How exciting is Pentecost Sunday today? It ought to be exciting, because birthdays are always exciting events. And Pentecost is the birthday of the church. All members of the church celebrate this day by doing something special, by wearing red and rejoicing in God's divine gifts. The church, after all, is not a building of bricks, but the bride of Christ that was conceived from his wounded side on Calvary, modeled on the Blessed Virgin Mary, for the church is feminine, and born in the upper room in Jerusalem on the 50th day after the Lord's resurrection. For us here at Holy Spirit Church Lavington, it's also an historically significant day, because on Pentecost Sunday, 50 years ago, the church with Bishop Carroll in attendance was officially inaugurated. Although there were masses before then, this was the official, you might say, diocesan acknowledgement of Holy Spirit Church, which was entrusted to the pastoral care of Father Patrick O'Connell. Thanks be to God, his legacy lives on. And there are some people here today who were present back then. We're so pleased that we celebrated this 50th anniversary of the parish earlier in the year, before the pandemic lockdown. What a blessing that has been. Today is also a rather special day, not just for the parish, but for the diocese, because Pope Francis, during the week, has appointed the Auxiliary Bishop of Melbourne, Mark Edwards, as the new Bishop of the Diocese of Wagga Wagga, after a wait of nearly 4 years. May God bless and guide his new pastoral ministry, and may we support him with our prayers. Lastly, next week is a special week because the New South Wales government, from Monday, has permitted churches to allow 50 people to attend religious services. So this unjust religious discrimination is slowly beginning to thaw. And hopefully, with this move and later others, we can go back to some semblance of normality. And may God, an essential part of our life, removing him from the non-essential categories imposed by the state. With all these glad tidings, let us now turn back to the upper room. Let us focus on that event, for what a grand moment it was. Christ had promised to send his Spirit that would transform his apostles from within. If he had have stayed, his glorious presence would have remained external to them. But now they were to be internally imbued with his loving and living dynamic presence. A presence that proceeds from what we call sanctifying grace. What is grace? Well, it's a divine power. And the word in Greek is dynamis, which is not dissimilar to dynamite. It's a tremendous invisible power that was given to the apostles on that day. And being invisible, it was made known via the senses of sight and sound, our two most external powerful senses. We are told that the apostles heard the roar of the wind around them. I tend to liken that to the engine of a Boeing jet. Just as it's about to take off from the tarmac, it's deafening and powerful. Then they saw these mysterious flames, the shape of tongues, burning over their heads. Flames that give off light and heat, but yet do not burn. These godly flames of divine origin signify the charismatic gifts, the seven gifts, and blessings that were poured into their souls on that day. We too, who are baptized in the Lord and then later confirmed, have these gifts given to us, the seven gifts, And on the bulletin this weekend, I've provided a simple explanation of those gifts. And each of them perfect one of the seven virtues. We should understand to some degree how they work, how they operate within our lives. Apart from these seven gifts given, there were also charismatic gifts or blessings bestowed upon them. And one was the ability to speak in one language, but be heard in different languages. We might call this simultaneous translations today. The apostle spoke in his own language, but is heard in every other. The word for language and tongue is much the same, which gave rise to the phrase speaking in tongues. The charismatic movement today asserts to claim dominion of this blessing. However, let us make three distinctions here. First, praying in tongues, which is a form of utterances, prayers, that some people do, and speaking or being heard in diverse languages is another reality. They shouldn't be confused. The latter is the authentic Pentecostal gift given to the apostles. Whereas praying in tongues is a form of prayer that some people find comfort in. Secondly, all charismatic gifts or blessings are unequivocally other-centered. That is, they are not for the recipient's benefit or holiness, but for the sake of the broader community or for pastoral outreach. Thirdly, no true charismatic gift, be it this or bilocation or healings, can be pre-bought. No, God gives them when He chooses and to whom He chooses, not when we want them. After all, they're not for us, but for the need of others. On that Sunday, we recall that Peter, the primate of the apostolic band, spoke more than likely in his Aramaic language or dialect, yet he was heard in every language present. That was the charismatic gift of tongues or languages. Now, I can recall two great missionaries who seem to perhaps have received this gift for the sake of their pastoral work. One was Francis Xavier, Jesuit evangelizer and patron of the missions. He died only at 46 years old in 1552. After being a missionary in India, Japan, and China. Now, in his 12 years of apostolic work, he baptized, they say, 30,000 people. But he firstly had to communicate with them, teach them, and convert them, which required language skills. And I tend to believe that perhaps he was given this charismatic gift so that people could understand him. Another Spanish Jesuit, who died 100 years after Francis Xavier in 1654, was St. Peter Claver, known as the Saint of the Slaves. His ministry, much unwanted then, in Colombia, was to meet the slave ships from Africa. He met them as they came and disembarked and taught them the faith. He communicated with them and then baptized them. It's estimated that in his 40 years of ministry, he baptized, they say, 300,000 people. Now, he may have learned all of their languages, or perhaps he was given this gift of speaking in tongues or languages so that they could understand him, accept the gospel of Christ, and then consent to baptism before being sent off as slaves. Whatever the case, God enabled him to do great work at a very difficult time. Let us therefore never hesitate in asking God for the gifts we stand in need of. On this Pentecost Sunday, let us renew our devotion to the Holy Spirit and ask that He may always abide within and make known His blessings. And may we utilize His sevenfold gifts in some way each day.